Hey, how you doing? This is your Right to Rock announcer, Joey Claims, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to another Gacy Ragman Show interview, where the boys chew the fat with both veterans and newcomers in the industry. So without further ado, I'm going to pour me a pint and kick back as I turn things over to tonight's guest. Take it away.
Hello, this is Michael Monroe. And you're listening to the Gacy Ragman Show. And I say, as in Horns and Halos, my previous album, horns up! And check out Michael Monroe's Blackout States, brand new album, Rock It!
With Ragman, mano e mano, with rock royalty, Mr. Michael Monroe. Give it up, people. Hey, Michael, how you doing tonight?
All right, pretty good for being rock royalty. Thank you for that.
Dude.
I'm good. How you doing yourself?
I'm doing good. I've just been a fan for many, many years, back from Hanoi Rocks. Love your voice, love the music you provide us for many, many years, so that's why you're royalty to us here
cool.
at the Right to Rock.
Oh, thank you. Cool. Love the appreciation. Thanks.
Well, you know, the cool thing
right.
is
right.
you've been doing it, close to 30 years, and you're still putting out
yeah.
awesome product. What is kind
thank
of your,
you, yeah.
Well, what kind of what's your drive to keep making great music? I mean, for an artist to be doing it as long as you have, a lot of guys just say, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. I've got my name out there, and I don't have to really put anything out that special. But with you, it's totally different. You're putting out something solid, something viable for today, and I think it's going to appeal to the older generation as well as the newer generation.
Cool. Yeah, well, I would never think that I don't have to put anything out there. I don't have to try it. That would be like death to me. I mean, really, it's what keeps me hungry and keeps me going is trying to get better at what I do. There's always room for improvement. You're never really good enough, so I strive for greatness, which I will probably never achieve completely, but I always try to get better and expand and try to do a better show and make records that are all killers and no fillers. You know, why would you put a weak song on an album? And it just I would rather not release it then. So, and worst, I mean, one of my worst fears is becoming complacent, kind of thinking, okay, I've made it, now I don't need to try. you always have to try. And every time I go on stage, I throw myself into it. You know, it's all or nothing. And I do the same show, whether it's 2 people or 200 people or 200,000 people, I do the same show. I give everything. It's all or nothing and you know, no compromise. It's the way I've always felt. And I guess, you know, I mean, sure, my name's out there to an extent, but then not nearly, you know, as much as it could be. So, you know, I don't feel like I've really ever made it, so to speak. But to me, making it is doing what you love doing the most and being, you know, playing honest from the heart, authentic rock and roll, and, you know, doing it on your own terms and not selling out and not taking the easy road. And I've always stuck to that stubbornly to a fault throughout my whole life and career, you know. So I think I'd like to think that I get better at what I do, and there's a lot of appreciation, a lot of past few years I've gotten a great feedback and appreciation. People are showing a lot of appreciation of what I do, what I've always done, and I never expected anything, but now very much critically acclaimed, you know, as they say, you know, for all the records of the past few records, about 3 records I've done, including a new one, you know, seems to get a great response, and it's great to get this kind of recognition, you know. I appreciate it. And that keeps me going, too.
Well, I mean, like you said, you have integrity, and you're not willing to just live off the past or, you know, your name. You have the integrity where you're going to say, I want to file
a file. Integrity, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'll just get another compliment for you, man, just to say. Yeah. And you, Hanoi Rocks, you know, when they started back in the day, I mean, you were kind of one of those bands where you had so much influence that unfortunately the way things worked out, you guys didn't get to hit that main stage, but I think you were on the brink of it. But people that know that music have such a high respect for what you guys were doing. A lot of them copied you. And I know you've gotten accolades by the Guns N' Roses guys over and over and over again. And you've done a lot of guest stuff with them in the past as well. So, I mean, do you look back? How do you look back at that time and, you know, reflect now that, you know, many years down the line on all the influence that you guys started back in the day? I mean, you guys were just basically kind of a hard rock, punky type band that influenced pretty much a whole genre. Do you reflect on that much, or do you even think about that stuff much anymore?
Well, I mean, it's always part of my life. We just had really bad luck, you know, and it was unfortunate that what happened, the accident. No, losing my best friend was the main thing that, and the band breaking up. Not only did we lose our drummer, Sammy Alpha left the band. You know, we didn't have a drummer or a bass player all of a sudden, and we were not in a strong enough state of mind, me and Nasty and Andy, to kind of keep it together. And so, and what it would have become, I decided it was better to call it a day and, you know, maintain the integrity of the band as opposed to getting 2 guys who were totally wrong and who didn't share the same spirit that we had with Razzle and Sammy and, you know, the whole band. And I'd rather just have a good memory of Hanoi than have something ruined and have people come in and start doing it for the money or something like that, you know. So, and I don't know if, the Hanoi Rocks defied all categories, and I thought it was one of the best things about the band. And musically, we played anything from punk to calypso, you know. you couldn't really categorize. We were just a rock band. That's the way I think of what I do anyways. It's like rock and roll. I mean, what do you call Aerosmith or the Rolling Stones? I mean, it's rock.
Yeah.
Rock and roll, whatever, you know, from Little Richard to the Stones to the Ramones. But, you know, all these kinds of trends that come and go and fashions and, you know, the influence on Guns N' Roses were great because they took the right, I mean, there's a lot of punk and the punky attitude about Hanoi, and, you know, that was, there was, and the music and the songs were most important to us. as opposed to their look, you know. I mean, and I don't think anybody even copied the look in a way that, I mean, there was something that every one of us were strong individuals and had our unique style, and it wasn't all leather and studs and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was very colorful and, you know, refreshing. To me, it was, there's a lot of bands that played their hairspray cans better than the instruments and, you know, thought it was all about posing and partying and, you know, having chicks and all that kind of cliche, you know. It's like, you know, which to me, it's embarrassing to think that, you know. There was a time when I was embarrassed to say that people would ask me if I'm a rock singer, so I'd rather say I'm a plumber or something. No thanks. It's the way those bands were acting. But Guns N' Roses, they took the right thing about, you know, they had their own thing, very strong, and their music was a bit more heavy, more like Aerosmith heavy-ish kind of sound, I suppose, you know, compared to Hanoi. But they always mentioned Hanoi in the press, and they even released our European catalog on their Uzi Suicide label and wanted to make Hanoi known, but they were also strong enough on their own, so that's why I'm really glad they became as big as they were. Some other bands didn't have much substance and thought, oh, you know, we take that look and we'll make, you know. And a lot of them got real popular and sold millions of records, but I still wouldn't want to be them because, to me, the integrity is more important than having something original and not having to copy someone else's style, you know. I'd rather be the guy who came up with with their own thing, you know. You know, I got my own thing. That's what I've been doing. And, of course, I've gotten influenced by many artists from Little Richard to, you know, to Alice Cooper, and I made my own thing, and that's the way I think it was, you know, in the past when there were no trends or genres like, you know, grunge or punk or heavy metal, whatever. As soon as some musical trend or style or fashion has a name, it's over, because everyone tries to be the same. For example, you know, the grunge thing when Nirvana came out, brilliant band, really great, sounded great, had it all, and they became huge. So then there's about 2 million bands trying to sound like them because they thought, okay, that's the formula for success. And the record companies encourage this because they want to also, they want to sell things in packages, you know, neatly in, you know, categories, and, you know, that serves them fine, and that suits them fine because they want to make money and a safe investment, which it'll never be, but, you know, of course, you got payola, whatever. You know, but as soon as, you know, it becomes a trend, then that kills creativity. In the old days, you know, 60s, 70s, early 80s, we didn't think about what kind of genre we'll fit or how much this record's going to sell or what is going to be, you know, what style is going to be, grunge or metal or punk or what. We just made good rock music and, you know, on our own terms and our own way. And, you know, all the bands in those days, 60s, 70s, when, you know, there were so many different styles. Everyone had their own thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the Who, Alice Cooper, the Faces, Mötley Hoople, the Doors, Iggy Pop, and, you know, there's so many different styles, and it was more refreshing, and people had more personality. Bands had more personality then. Nowadays, there's very little variety, I think. You know, sound-wise and look-wise, and every, you know, it's kind of limited, which is not as much fun as it used to be, you know.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But they're great bands. They're still great bands. You know, they're, you know, the Foo Fighters, thank God they're as big as they are, because they got the right idea. And Slash is great. His new band is brilliant. And, you know, Harrison is still there. The Stones are still doing it, right? ZZ Top, AC/DC, I mean, you know, even though Bon Scott was the AC/DC I loved the best, but mind you, Brian Johnson had a great album with his band, Geordie. One of my favorite albums is the album called Hope You Like It. That was the band called Geordie, that Brian Johnson's band in 1973 came out. It's one of my favorite albums. And I think Brian Johnson sings on that better than he's ever sung.
Oh, really?
So, you know, good rock music, you know, it's still around. It's not what you hear every day, but if you look for it, you'll find it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, before we jump into the new record, I guess a quick question. Blackout States is a brand new record, and it kicks ass. I think we've addressed that. But how would you, for a guy that hadn't heard anything off the new record yet, how would you describe, or is there any real difference or progression from Horns and Halos?
Well, I think this album has got a bit more of a kind of like a bit punkier sounding, sort of like more like the Clash and the Boys kind of punk. You know, there's always the Pistols and the Ramones influence is always there, and that's there too. But it's maybe a bit more punky than the last album and more melodic. I think it's got a bit more melody and kind of back to the roots. Style-wise, it's got a lot of variety as opposed to Horns and Halos was maybe, I don't know if it was more hard rock or more or heavy or it was more like intense, relentless, you know, pounding you over the head. This one has a bit more air, I think. It's, and I don't know if relaxed is the right word, but or laid back, but it just has a bit more air. And I like the fact that in this one, we got the drums are very, totally organic. You know, we didn't use any, you know, there was no need to use any kind of samples mixed in the drum sounds. The drums are just, you know, natural. And for the first time, we've had them like that, like completely natural. You know, in the past, we've had to enhance drum sounds a little bit. But it's a nice warmth in the sound. So, and I mean, 13 songs is to me is a lot. I like albums with 10 songs or 11, or depending on, of course, what they are. But and this one seems to work real good. I mean, I want the album to feel like when you once you're done listening to it, you want to hear it again, and this still feels like that. So I'm really happy with this one. I think and the chemistry of the band is so magical and so tight that it's only gotten better. But Rich Jones on guitar has something to do with the sound being influenced by, you know, a bit more punky, I guess, and more melodic. I think this is more strong songs than Horns and Halos. Horns and Halos had like 3 or 4 songs that could have been like singles. This one has like 6 or 7 at least. To my ears.
I agree. I love how the record starts out with "This Ain't No Love Song," because that one's just kind of in your face. Just a fun. It's a really fun party rock punky type record for me. Very melodic, like you said. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of like that Cheap Trick melody mixed in with like more of a punky vibe.
Make decisions together, and this time the track listing was kind of, it was easy after I had actually pretty early, and when we were in studio we really I usually don't even think about it, but you know, at that point, or I do think about start thinking about what the order could be, the order for the songs, but I listed them this way, pretty much this way from when we were finishing in the studio, and I always just listed the songs in this order, and then when it came time to decide what the order would be, I'd say, well, is there anything wrong with this? And two of the guys said, All of them. All except Steve. Everyone said, yeah, that's great. Great practice. And then Steve Conte, he said, how about then, we put together, start the email conversation about the track listing. I was going, I hope everyone agrees with that. I hope the majority agrees with me, and they did. So I said, okay, sorry, that's it. And it works great. I mean, Ain't No Love Song, I always want to start with a pretty fast one, and also the concept is, I'm sure people can relate to, a lot of people can surely relate to, I mean, most people I know do not have functioning relationships, and so it's easy to relate to that one, right? But yeah. It's like better alone than in bad company, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you're lonely when you're alone, then you're in bad company, so you got to be at peace with yourself. And it's okay to be alone if you don't have, of course, it's nicer to have friends, but then again, you need some time on your own, too. So I'm sure it's a good, fun song that you can, I'm sure, a lot of people can relate to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that was a good opening.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree 100%. And that's what, hearing that opening song, that's what's going to drag people in, I think. And there's a nice variety on the record. I mean, you can listen to a fast-paced song like that. And a lot of them kind of have more of an up-tempo, but then you can go to a mid-tempo track like Keep Your Eye on You, which to me has single written all over it. If you got the proper airplay, that could be huge for you.
Yeah. I'd like to see that, of course. I've had songs in the past that it could have been, based on what they sound like on this album, and there's no reason for this stuff not to be, it could be as big as, the biggest stuff in the world. And I mean, I just haven't had I haven't been lucky enough to have the kind of machinery around me or people working or up the, I've always had, a bit of bad luck and gotten to a point where one of the songs could be really, really big. And that actually would be interesting to see if this band had the opportunity to go on a real long world tour with some big names, with a great package, like Foo Fighters or Slash or, I don't know, something like that, and go out on the road for a long time and get the exposure. See how, because I think people appreciate this kind of rock and roll when they hear it. They go, oh, yeah, that's the real deal. Going Down with the Ship to me could be the second single.
Oh, I agree. That one's catchy as hell.
Right? And to Keep Your Eye on You would be the perfect third single if we can get, and single and videos. We could do that. That one to me, I always thought of.
Well, I was going to pick one, and I'll tell you a real quick story. My brother worked at, I'm in Houston, Texas. And my brother worked at a record store, and when you were with PolyGram on Not Faking It, you had talked to him on the phone. He was over the moon. And then you sent him a photo, and you wrote, rock like fuck. So I'm all checking out your new record, and there's a song, RLF, you got to be a little bit more PC. But to me, that song almost had a Motorhead feel. I thought I could hear Lemmy singing dual vocals with you on that one. Probably one of the heavier tracks on the record. But how did that song come together, and is that just kind of one of your sayings from, you know, back in the day?
Yeah, that's been my slogan, yeah. It's been my slogan since the 80s, rock like fuck, and... it was about time I wrote a song called that, you know. Sammy had the music for that, and, you know, he had made a demo at home with just the music, and he had a working title that was Fuck Shit Up. And I said, okay, well, if we're going to swear, let's do it for real. I mean, let's call it Rock Like Fuck, and, you know, three words, so Rock Like Fuck, Fuck Shit Up. And obviously that was not going to be the single, but... I wrote the lyrics, and so that's me and Sammy. We could put that together, and Sammy's music, my lyrics, and it's one of my favorites actually. And there's Lemmy in everywhere, you know. Lemmy, you can hear it, he's part of us, you know, he's part of the big influences here, and one of the greats of all time. He did sing on Sensory Overdrive. He was featured on the Debauchery as a Fine Art song. You know, we did it. It was a duet with me and Lemmy. If you remember.
Oh yeah, you know, I do remember that. That was killer too.
Yeah, that was the last song of the album. But yeah, there's certainly, you can hear Motorhead in our sound too, and very funky. Motorhead and you know, this is the kind of stuff I love. That's one of my favorites for sure. So and kids love to say that, I'm sure, because they, so we got to rock. And we decided to call it RLF just so people wouldn't get offended right off the bat. You would have to hear the song and read the lyrics to get offended.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that T-shirt. Yeah, and there was a T-shirt we had on that.
That's
tour.
What it was. It was a T-shirt. You had it on the T-shirt too.
Yeah. Yeah, Rock Like Fuck, and then we had to print the alternate versions without the Rock Like Fuck on the back, because in some states, there was like, they said, we're going to get into big trouble if we're going to sell shirts like that. It was like in the South or somewhere. It was scary. We had to have boring versions with what it said, you know, Michael Monroe, Dead Jello Rock and Roll in the front, and then in the back, it said nothing.
Oh, wow. Because, yeah, that is boring.
Yeah. So I was like, amazing. And at that time, still in America, there would be such states that wouldn't allow that. So, I mean, yeah, freedom of speech, right?
Yeah, right. Well, Michael.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Well, just fans in America.
Yeah.
Any fans anywhere, I love them, and I really appreciate all the support and loyalty, and especially in America, a lot of patience for people not getting a lot of people don't get a chance to see this band, and I really hope we do get an opportunity to fix that, that we could play in as many countries as possible. I don't know, how... the deal with the stage is just such a big place, and, you know, to... Tour enough to be, you know, to be recognized and to get known is, it feels like a overwhelming task. But I'm going to keep doing this thing. So whenever you get a chance, come check out this band. We're supposed to come to America, and I think there's a cruise that we're booked on in February, and they're trying to book some dates around that in the States.
Oh,
so
nice.
I really hope that's going to happen. I want to thank all the fans, and without them, I wouldn't have much of a career. So thank you, and God bless you.
Well, Michael, if you come to Houston, Texas, we're going to come see you. Last question, I promise. Any thought of a DVD or anything like that?
Oh, that's always possible. We haven't thought of it, no plans, but before too long, I'm sure that should happen with this band, for sure. But maybe when we make a live album sometime, I don't know. I haven't thought of it, but yeah, that's a good idea. I'm all up for that.
Well, perfect.
Sometime in the future, I'm sure.
Well, Michael, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com, and we want to tell all the fans to go check out Michael's brand new record, Blackout States, on Spine Farm. This is one kick-ass party rocking record. You must have it in your collection. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And the album is going to be released October 9th, coming out, Blackout States.
Perfect.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our shows post on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying it from your favorite merchant. Which definitely includes the amazing Tracy G, we love you brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.